Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to start off with a special introduction, a beautiful piece of music by Jane Hunt from her CD, Rebirth. The title of this is Grass Valley. So we're going to open up our show with this wonderful piece of music, and when we come back, there will be more of Donna Sebo. So don't you go away. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the song. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I hope you enjoyed that delightful Scottish tune that probably got your toes wiggling and tapping as well. Jane Hunt was to be my guest today. Something has caused her not to be able to be available right at this moment. So we are hoping that she's going to be able to call in, but that I wanted to play for you just to give you a taste of this wonderful young woman's music. And if for whatever reason something came up where she wasn't able to get to the phone, then we are going to be booking her again because her music is absolutely wonderful. And again, that's from her album Rebirth, and Jane Hunt is the phenomenal world-class violinist. Well, we've got so many other things that we're going to be able to share with you. And by the way, since Jane is not with us, we are going to open up the telephone lines for this hour. And here are the telephone numbers that you can call into at any time during this hour. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. That's for the U.S. For Canada, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And also we have 530-876-3222. 3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, I've got so many different things that I wanted to share with you today. I thought that what I would start off with was a little bit about scams. There's always someone out there that is wanting to sell you something. Isn't that the truth? And so frequently, there are these particular scams that go on that you just think, how in the world could people have ever fallen for them? Well, we human beings, you just never know what we're going to fall for. And there's all kinds of lies and ruses that have just been considered and review as some of the wildest things that anybody could have ever pulled. Now, I know the Brooklyn Bridge is well known by all of you, but this was back in 1957 on April Fool's Day. The British Broadcasting Corporation tried a real special trick, and it had a new show at the time called Panorama. There's a journalist by the name of Richard Dimbleby. What he did, and remember, this was April Fool's Day, he offered viewers a tour of a spaghetti harvest in Ticino, Switzerland. A spaghetti harvest in Ticino, Switzerland. Now, this is what he said. The last 2 weeks of March are an anxious time for the spaghetti farmer. And he talked with the most sincere, earnest manner possible on radio, saying that there was this family, and they were plucking strips of pasta off the trees. He said, now, there's a late frost chance, which, while not entirely ruining the crop, generally impairs the flavor. And, of course, he finished his story with, for those who love this dish, there's nothing like homegrown spaghetti. Now, after this was done, and again, this was an April Fool's show. After this was done, BBC was flooded with telephone calls from people wanting to know where they could get a spaghetti tree. And they were told to place a sprig of spaghetti in a tin of tomato sauce and hope for the best. Can you imagine? What fun. But it's amazing what we will fall for. But that, again, especially on April the 1st. But, of course, if you forget it's April the 1st, I can maybe understand where someone might fall in with it. Now, in 1835, don't think that this is something that just is recent. I mean, people have been pulling pranks for a long, long time. In 1835, in New York, what do you expect? It's New York City. They come up with everything. There was a New York paper, The Sun, that published a six-part series about exotic life on the moon. Now, what this series did, it described vast oceans, lakes, abandoned temples of sapphire, and there were buffalo-like creatures that roamed expansive plains of land. And they said one of the most fantastic revelations was the discovery of human-like creatures with wings. They were like Batman. And they feasted off the land and apparently enjoyed vigorous sex lives. And the moon hoax was a tremendous smash, with New Yorkers snatching up installments as fast as they were printed. Now, do you know what? People actually believed in the moon discoveries, even people of prestigious positioning in academic circles. Yale College, they said, was alive with staunch reporters. Supporters, and there was a reporter that wrote about it. He said it was the most absorbing topic of the day. Yes, okay, I know. You'll see, in the 1800s, people weren't very smart. Well, they were just about as smart as today, because there was a high school group in Gonzaga College that decided they were going to do their own special prank, and they tricked the Department of Interior. This is the Department of the Interior, into allowing them to turn the Washington Monument purple and white, the school's colors, just before the annual football game against their rival, St. John's College High School. And this is what they said. We convinced the government that we were doing a science project to test the effects of casting light through a semi-permeable membrane on a white, oblique object. Now, Mark Smith was the person that led this fun caper. And there was a forged letter on the headmaster's stationery that apparently sealed the deal. And on the night of November 11th, the boys brought yards of purple celluloid in wooden frames to many of the monument's gigantic spotlights. In the park, police kept visitors to the area at bay, and at 7:05 p.m., when the celluloid stations were ready, the boys placed them over the spotlights, and two sides of the monument suddenly turned purple and stayed that way for 35 minutes. Now, of course, everybody that lived there was just absolutely in awe of this transformation. And Mr. Smith and his friends just thought this was the coolest thing. They said, this is the greatest moment of our lives. And they got all kinds of press coverage, and Vice President Spiro Agnew was really upset over it because he felt this was defacing the national monument. And the U.S. National Park Service Superintendent William Fowler also felt the same way, and he wrote the headmaster of the college warning, in the future, any request from your institution will be closely screened and documented. Didn't hurt anything, but oh my goodness, what a story. So there's just all kinds of things, but one of the ones that I want to finish up with here is about a Frenchman named Vrandenis Lucas. He passed off a series of absurd forgeries, more than 27,000 of them, to his client, who was a mathematician, Charles Chalet. And this was from 1861 to 1869. And what were these forgeries? They were letters from Alexander the Great to Aristotle, and from Cleopatra to her dearly beloved Julius Caesar. All of them were written in French, by the way. And one letter was even said to be written by Lazarus after he was resurrected. And Chalet was thrilled and paid for a steady supply. It was only when the forger, Mr. Lucas, ceased delivery, it seems, that the relationship between these two gentlemen deteriorated. Of course, Mr. Chalet alerted officials, Lucas was arrested, and at his trial, his forgery fraud was exposed, and so was Mr. Michael Chalet's ability to make good decisions. They figured he wasn't too smart. None of these people would have written anything in French. Ah, the wonders of wonders, people coming up with all kinds of pranks. And I guess you might say, that's sort of like a gotcha, isn't it? Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open. My musician, Jane Hunt, was not able to make the broadcast. And if we're lucky, if she's able to call in during the hour, then we will be notified by our engineer. But otherwise, telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's toll free for those in the U.S. From Canada, 888-810-8. 322. That's 888-810-8322. And also we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Donna Sebo here, and we've got all kinds of different things we're going to be sharing with you today. So you might want to have a pad of paper and a pen handy so we can share some good recipes with you as well. One of the things that I feel people often neglect, and believe me, I have been guilty of this, and that is getting enough sleep. So many times we are made to feel that if we get a good 8 hours sleep, boy, that's not necessary. We should be able to get by on 3 or 4. And I've known many people throughout the years that will say, oh, I just thrive on that kind of amount of sleep. And I want to say, that's great for you, but I am sort of like a zombie. And of course, like many women who have had children, when you have kids, for example, you don't know what it is to have a straight night's sleep. Usually you're interrupted with one thing or the other, and sometimes there's illnesses with family members and all kinds of things that disrupt sleep. And I think often women have a difficult time to be able to really rest soundly. I know my husband, I'm always amazed. He can fall asleep and he said, I'm going to go to sleep. That's great. Turn around. And he's out like a light. I don't know how the guys do it, but they do. And myself, I usually have always been an extremely light sleeper. And again, I think once you're a mom, once you've had kids, that's just what comes with the turf. Well, it's really difficult, especially as we mature, to get more and more sleep, to be able to get the sleep we need, which is about 7.5 to 8 hours, and some people need more. But to be able to feel rested, this is sound sleep, where you're not waking up every hour or every 2 hours. where you're really getting a good night's sleep uninterrupted. What they've found in research is when you get less than 6 hours of sleep a night, it can affect your coordination, your judgment, and your reaction times. Side effects, if you will, from this can be irritability, apathy, memory doesn't seem to be so sharp, you get sort of depressed. You can even gain weight. Why? Because instead of sleeping, you're forcing yourself to stay awake, and often you eat, your blood sugar drops. Hypertension is also related to this, and reduced immune response. So all of these things are affected. The body is designed for those periods of rest, and there's some people, like a Marine sergeant that I knew, because he was fighting in wars all the time. This is a man I had a great deal of appreciation for. He learned how to go to sleep and take what he'd call catnaps. And he could put himself to sleep and automatically wake himself up in 15 minutes. And he developed this practice because when he was out in the battlefield, many times he was so exhausted because obviously they weren't able to get good night's sleep. So he said he learned to take those periods of sleep. He disciplined himself where he could go to sleep for those 15 minutes and awaken refreshed and then go on. And he said it didn't make any difference if he was standing in a mud gully or was sleeping in a cave somewhere. He could do this. And he would also give a signal to himself if there was any danger that he would be awakened instantly. And it worked. It was something he did even after he retired from the military, and he found it very, very useful. So this is something that we can do. But what you want to do, especially as you're maturing, sometimes when you're real young, you don't think it's very necessary, but our body chemistry changes. And as we mature and as we get older, there is more of a need for the body to get good rest. So if you are fatigued, it's very important that you can take a power nap sometime during the day. 10 to 30 minutes can help, just like the Marine sergeant. Oh, and I'll give you a Hollywood tip. Many film stars were disciplined and trained that when they were between productions or if they were on stage performing, whatever would be there, they got what they'd call slant boards. And that is a board that you have cut, and it's very firm, and usually there's padding on it. And often they'd have them so they were collapsible, so they could take them with them wherever they went. But then you would unfold it, and you would put something under that would elevate one end of the slant board about 6 inches, and then you'd lay down on that. You could lay down on that slant board for 10 to 20 minutes. When you did that, your energy was just phenomenal, and you would just find yourself rejuvenated. Well, it looks like we've got a caller, but anyway, let me get back to the sleep thing for just a moment before I go to the caller. Do try to remember. If you want a good night's sleep, regular exercise is important. Stay caffeine-free if you can. And leave the cigarettes alone, because often nicotine is a stimulant. And also, if you're so fatigued, you don't want to fall asleep with a cigarette in your hand, right? You don't want to cause a fire. And avoid heavy meals late in the day. And try to go to bed and get up about the same time every day. And remember, keep your bedroom for the romantic moments, and also keep it cool and dark so that you really can go to sleep and sleep well. Well, let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Jane Hunt.
Jane, you made
Hi.
It. Yay. I'm so thrilled you were able to make the show.
I called in directly. I was in a rehearsal, and I had them schedule me stop at 6:20 our time. So
oh
I can pull into the show.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're just glad that you're able to join us, and it's so delightful. Now, Jane, we played your song, one of your songs, right at the beginning of the show because we weren't able to reach you, so it's just wonderful that you're able to make it. And for those of you that are listening, Jane Hunt is in New York, I believe. Is that where you are right now, Jane?
Yeah, that is exactly where I am right now.
Yes. And you just got back from traveling. Where were you performing?
I have had a very busy schedule over the past 3 days. I was in Florida, actually a week almost. I was in Florida on Friday, and I played a show. I actually had a 13-hour drive almost there because we had a big snowstorm in New York, and I couldn't fly out from JFK, so my manager had to drive me all the way to Philadelphia to catch a flight for my show in Florida.
Oh,
my. The next day, I flew to Chicago, and I played a show there. And the day after that on Sunday, I played a show in Columbus, Ohio. And today I'm playing a show with one of the girls from Celtic Woman, and I'm her violinist for the evening. We're playing a bunch of my stuff from the album, and she's singing a few songs that she sings in the Celtic Woman show. And we're playing in New York City tonight. And tomorrow I fly out to Dallas for two classical concerts.
I'm tired just listening. But I know you're having a wonderful, wonderful time. I'd like my audience to know that you're a native of the UK and that you graduated from Royal Northern College of Music in 2005 and you obtained the highest class of a first honors degree, and you decided at the tender age of 17 that you wanted to pursue a career as a violinist. Because while you were actively competing on an international junior tennis circuit, and your whole family are involved in sports activities, that's just what they love, how is it you came out and decided that the violin was going to be your love and not tennis?
Well, it's a funny story, actually, because my grandfather, when I was 10 years old, handed me a violin that he found in his attic. And I just started playing it, and I still remember from that very first moment of picking up the violin, I loved it. And even though I'd played tennis my whole life, I just knew there was a turning point when I was 17 when I had to choose between staying at school and playing tennis and playing music. And it was the obvious decision for me to play the violin because I always loved it so much.
Now, there are so many people that have children that maybe aspire to be musicians. I have a very dear friend. Her son just recently, not unlike you, just decided he wanted to pick up and play the violin, and he loves it. He absolutely loves it. In fact, he's got a performance in his school orchestra this evening. And I was thinking about you and your background, and here you are at 17. You went into school. You have this wonderful ability. You have this passion for music. How in the world were you able to get on an international circuit? There are so many people that yearn for that but never do.
Well, I always practiced very hard. My main concern, from the age of 17 when I decided it was going to be my career, my main concern was practicing and just getting as good as I possibly could get at playing the violin, and things just seemed to fall into place. I always kept my eyes open for auditions, and I always made sure I took every opportunity that came my way, and I was fortunate enough to have some very good opportunities come along my way, and I jumped at them and worked hard. And I think it's a combination of being always aware and looking out for the things that you can, that things are going to help you with your career, and at the same time practicing as much as possible so you feel like you're on top of your game, so to speak.
Now, you're how old now? 23, 24?
I'm 23 now, yeah.
You're 23. Now, between 17 and 23, these are some of the events and halls that you have performed in. You've performed at the Cannes Film Festival in France. You've performed at the Elton John's Life Ball concert in Vienna. You've performed at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., the 60th anniversary of the United Nations at the Paramount Theater in San Francisco. You have done the Cannes Film Festival in France. And as I mentioned before, you have been in phenomenal environments, and here you are tonight playing with one of the people from the Celtic Woman, and that group is international. They travel all over the world, as you have.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did you connect up with them?
Actually, the manager who manages them, he knew me, and there was a specific concert where he was looking for a violinist, and so he contacted me. He'd heard my CD and heard my music, and I'd been introduced to him in the past, and I said, always bear me in mind if there's a concert where you might need a violinist like myself. And it just so happened there was a concert this week, so I've been rehearsing with her yesterday, and we're playing about 3 or 4 hours.
Well, what I would like to do right now is to play the Scottish reel. Play the Scottish reel. We're starting a little bit late with Jane Hunt. I'm just so delighted she was able to get in from rehearsal to be with us today. So we're going to play a little bit of this, and I hope that you will enjoy it. And then we will have a break after the music, and then we'll come back and talk more with Jane Hunt. This is part of her wonderful, wonderful CD album, Rebirth, by Jane Hunt, the world-class violinist.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and my guest Jane Hunt was able to make it, and we're going to be playing another piece of music in just a little bit. Jane, I'd like for you to tell us where you're performing in New York. We have listeners in New York City, and I know they'd love to hear where, about the time, the information, and so on and so forth. Where are you performing there?
I'm playing at the Ulysses Bar, which is an Irish bar down on Pearl Street, and the management for Celtic Woman have rented out the entire bar for the evening, especially for Hayley Westerner's performance.
Oh, that
and
is...
We are doing the opening act, and I'm accompanying her on the violin while she sings.
And what time is that going to be?
It begins at 9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock your time. How
yes.
fabulous for you. Now, Jane, I know we've got another piece that we're going to be coming up with pretty soon. It's your African 12 piece, and there's a flute counter melody, and we're just going to play about a minute and a half, 2 minutes of it. But I'd like to ask you, how did you select these choices of music that you have on your CD, which is titled Rebirth? How did you choose these various tunes? Because you have the Scottish Reels, you've got Patti's Ramble Through the Park, you've got the Brazilian Blair Samba. How did you do this?
I'd always been listening to Celtic music. I'd listened to a lot of Celtic music, so I had a bunch of songs already in my head. And I guess the main way I chose the pieces would be when I met up with the guitarist who was playing on the album also, James Riley. I met him and we began playing together. And when we get together, we seem to be able to formulate these songs and say, we took, for the African 12, we took an Irish tune and the two of us said, well, wouldn't this sound great with some African beats in it? And so the two of us really came up with it together. It was a case of we already knew the songs, and then when we were playing together, we formulated a different arrangement of them.
All right, so let's take and play African 12, and this is, we'll just do a couple of minutes of it because it's about 3.5 minutes long, so we'll want to come back and chat with you some more, Jane. But let's go and play a cut from African 12, about 2 minutes worth, and this is including the flute that's played by Isaac Alderson.
Thank you. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and my guest today is Jane Hunt. We're a little bit different today with all of this fabulously vibrant music from her wonderful CD, Rebirth. And, Jane, you have such a passion for Celtic music. You've also worked at the George Lucas Skywalker Ranch soundstage in Berkeley. What was that like for you? George Lucas is a magical name when it comes to entertainment and to sound effects and so many other aspects. How in the world were you able to link up with George Lucas?
I was asked to record an album with a string quartet that I play with called Neo Camerata. I was asked to play the violin part in this new classical music that they were recording at George Lucas's studios. That was back in 2005. And that's how I got to go there. But when I was there, it was a truly incredible place. And the ranch is huge, and he's got his own vineyard there. And we were put up in wonderful little cottages. And I even got to see the actual big screen and studio where he actually edited all the sound for Star Wars.
Fascinating. What was the most intriguing thing about doing the studio work at the ranch there on his facility?
I love studio work. I've always loved doing studio work, and I guess the most exciting thing to be at George Lucas's studios was the fact that Star Wars had been edited and recorded there, and I really enjoyed working with the producers as well who produced the album.
I can imagine, because they have such a sophisticated system. And
absolutely,
they are just absolutely awesome in the quality that they produce. And, of course, that's why everything that they've done is so memorable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the best facilities I've ever seen. And it was my first recording, so I was very fortunate to be thrown in, I guess, at the deep end.
Jane, here you are as a world-class performer. You've recorded in one of the finest studios in the world. Where is it you would like to go? If you could set out a dream for 5 years from now, we're in 2007, you're in 2012, where would you like to see yourself? What would you like to see manifested in your career?
As long as I can keep performing and keep creating music that I love and be fortunate enough to get concerts and continue to work and have people play my music on radio stations and be good enough to be interested in my music, that is what it's all about for me at the end of the day. It's always about being able to play the music and continue to doing that.
Do you feel that, and of course you'd be an inspiration for any other young artist that's out there, let me ask you this. What information, what recommendations would you make to someone that has the desire and is willing to work to become a performer such as yourself? What would you say to them? What would you recommend in our very vibrantly changing world to do?
I would say the most important ingredient, besides practicing hard and always being aware of what possibilities may come out of things, the most important thing is perseverance, because it's a very tough industry and you have to keep trying at something and just keep focused on what you want to do. And if you want to play music, then persevere with pushing forward and getting yourself concerts and getting your music heard.
What is the worst case scenario, worst disappointment that you've had? You're very young. You have been in this industry, which, as you said, is very competitive. What was one of the most disappointing moments? And how did you work with that moment to your advantage?
I've never really had a disappointing moment. There have always been maybe a few setbacks. I've wanted to play a show and it's not happened quick enough. Or, you know, I've wanted to record more albums and it's not always possible. But I wouldn't ever call those disappointments, because I think just being able to play music itself is such an incredible thing to be able to do that there's nothing disappointing about the profession, for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say that you're in the right business, because it is a tough business. It is a rugged business. I want to play one of your pieces here, and it is item number 6 on your CD. It's a Brazilian Blair Samba, and our engineer, Don, he'll play just a couple of minutes of that before we break away. Don, would you just turn that on, and let's listen to that for a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
Well, Jane, we have really enjoyed your music. It has been absolutely wonderful having you as a guest. You've got a fabulous evening ahead of you and a performance that's just a short amount of time away. I'd like to give out your website, which is called violinvenus.com. That's violinvenus.com, where people can go and get information about your CD and find out more about you, where you're going to be, and what you're going to do.
Absolutely.
I wish you the best, Jane. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you were able to make the program today, even though
Thank
it was
you,
delayed. And may your career just be continually as dynamic as it has been so far. And I hope if you have another CD, which I know you will, that you'll be sure to send it to me, because I'd love to have you back.
Thank you very much, Donna.
You're more than welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green, March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily, at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And before we close out the show today, we're going to play one of the pieces that Jane has on her CD, Rebirth. And again, I want to give out her website, violinvenus.com. This beautiful young woman, fabulous person, wonderful music, and I thought it was just a wonderful way to have something different on the Donna Sebo Show. I enjoy music, and if those of you listening know a fine artist or musicians, they can always send me a copy of their CD, and I will love to listen to it. I always listen to the material that I'm sent when it's on a CD or a DVD. But I want to let you know also that we've got some guests coming up this week that you don't want to miss. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about how you can open your heart with art. Dave Wilson is the gentleman who's going to be my guest. I'm really looking forward to having him on the air, because I have been very much aware of art as a therapy, and I've had the privilege of interviewing people that have used art as a form of release and healing, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful topic, so I know you'll enjoy it. And we're going to be talking on Thursday with Risa Brown, The Call to Brilliance. This is a woman that really loves kids and believes that every child has a level of brilliance that is outstanding. And I want to let you know that this is something that is absolutely incredible, and it is a dynamic publication. So I'm delighted to have her as a guest. And then on the 23rd, which is the first day of the Women's Show where I am appearing, I am going to be talking with Richard Smith, who is a real estate specialist, and we're going to be chatting about some things involving real estate. If you're an investor, you're going to want to hear that. And then next week, we've got some wonderful, wonderful guests. We've got Ruth Glick. We're going to be talking about snack attacks. Any of those ever creeped up on you? Well, she's going to give us some insights as to how to handle that. And then Dan Millman, Wisdom of a Peaceful Warrior. This is a phenomenal book. He has written books before, and he hasn't put one out for a number of years. And this is a follow-up to the book, The Peaceful Warrior, he wrote so many years ago, and I know you're going to enjoy this, gentleman. And then, Don Ferguson, we're going to be talking about Reptiles in Love. Mm-hmm. That's a provocative title, isn't it? Well, you're going to hear more when we talk with Don. Then I'm going to be flying to New York, so we're going to be doing a Best of Donna on the 29th. And then after I arrive in New York on the 30th, we're going to be interviewing Michael Domitritz. His book is May I Kiss You. This is about teenagers. Yes, we're going to be talking about etiquette, social romantic etiquette, if you'd want to call it that, that we're going to be discussing. If you as a parent or if you're dealing with siblings and you want to, gee, what do I do? How do I work with these young people? Well, I think Michael's book might be able to help you. So we've got a wonderful lineup. And then in the next month of April, we've already got our guests lined up, and so you'll be able to go in pretty soon and see what the lineup is on bbsradio.com. So I wanted to let you know about that. Also, at the Northwest Women's Show, I am going to be on the platform Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you will be able to see the show schedule, and you'll be able to hear me speak. And Friday, the time is going to be changed, but on Saturday, from 11 to 11:30, I'll be up on the seminar stage, and then Sunday I'll be up on the seminar stage from 2 to 2:30. Don't forget my booth number for those of you who are listening in the state of Washington and will be going to the program. This women's show is just awesome. And just know you can come by booth number 406, and I will be delighted to interact with you. So Donna Siebel here, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all. Well, I know that we are closing out the program. What I'd like to do is play the last piece on Jane's CD, and I know you will enjoy it, and it's a very, very famous tune and one that has a great deal of history, but I know you'll recognize it when you hear it. So we're going to play this, and then we'll be closing out the program. Thank you. Hi, this is Donna. I know we're out of time now. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And that last piece is an old, old classic. Nearer, my God, to thee with that. I know so many of you recognize. And again, Jane Hunt, thank you for the beautiful performance. And to all of you, thank you for being supportive of the show. We'll be back with you bright and sassy, same time, same place. And just know, you make a difference. You really do. Bye for now. Talk with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.